loose with the best hockey coverage possible. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hockey Central live from the Stanley Cup playoffs from Section 120 here at the Tampa Bay Times Forum. Darren Millard along with Nick Kiprios, who's texting. Doug McLean and Scott Morrison. What are you tweeting?
I just sent out a tweet. I got a picture of Doug McLean, and I said, lane number 7 is now open. Lane number 7 for Doug McLean is now open.
I have my bowling shoes with my number on the back of them.
We do look like a bowling team. Do we not?
Yeah. Honestly, we're a team.
I'm going to ask you a serious question about bowling. Whether it's in Summerside at the rec center,
yeah,
or in downtown place. Toronto, or in Brandon, Manitoba. Have you ever had a bad time bowling?
No, as a matter of fact, when I was a teacher, I used to take my class there every Friday afternoon.
Did you dress like this? Did you dress like this?
There's a lot of NHL teams, especially when they do the Western Tour, when they get the off days out in Calgary, Edmonton, whatnot, take the teams bowling.
Are you a good bowler?
Team building.
What's the best you've ever bowled? What's the best score?
I don't think I've ever finished a game.
Oh,
what do you mean you've never finished?
Well, I get bored.
What? I love bowling.
Yeah, I know. I believe that.
How about the playoffs?
What's that?
How about the playoffs?
Well, there's that, too. The Tampa Bay Lightning failing to capitalize on an odd game in which they were badly outplayed and coming up against the Montreal Canadiens squad that dominated them with shots, and the Tampa Bay Lightning squander that chance to pick up a 1-0 series lead. And then you had the Anaheim Ducks holding on to an opportunity against the Dallas Stars, and the Pittsburgh Penguins coming back against the Columbus Blue Jackets. An opening night of the Stanley Cup playoffs in which, Scotty, leads were very hard to hold on to.
Well, in the Montreal-Tampa game, there wasn't a lead held for more than 4 minutes, so that tells you about the quick turnaround in that game. And we saw Anaheim up 4-0. They hang on for dear life with 3 goals coming late by Dallas. And a real shocker, I think, is when you think about that Columbus-Pittsburgh series and Columbus being up 3-1 and goalie Bob not being able to shut the door. So some interesting scenarios on the opening night.
Well, Marc-Andre Fleury is the happiest guy because everybody's talking about goalie Bob's failures instead of Marc-Andre Fleury's shortcomings in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, goalie Bob is supposed to give them a chance to win, and when you saw it partway through the second, it's 3-1, you're saying, okay, Columbus is going to pull off a major upset. Bad winning goal, to be quite honest, on goalie Bob with, 8 minutes remaining. So, you know what, I suspect he bounces back and gives them, you know, makes them competitive in this series. In that game was apparently, and we obviously didn't see it, was the coverage of Dubinsky on Crosby, where it was man-on-man shadowing, like we haven't seen in the NHL in many, many years. We know checking lines, but man-on-man shadowing around the ice, like the old days.
That used to be the norm.
Right.
Why did it disappear?
Once upon a time, it was Kasper on Gretzky. Oh, remember those back in the 80s playoffs?
Exactly. It changed because teams went to checking lines and checking groups that would make sure they can. And their responsibility was
What's more effective?
Down. Well, I don't think... See, what happens is, and what the difference was in the game last night, which is what we talked about, actually, is power plays. You can't, you know, where did Crosby get it done last night? Well, they scored 2 power play goals, you know, that, and it was a difference in the game. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you shadow, and eventually, it breaks down. To me, you think Dubinsky's going to ruin Crosby's series? I'm not convinced he will.
When? Then you got Malkin to contend with, who ended up with, I think, a couple of assists.
James so, Neal.
You know, I think the other change is you had minute and a half shifts before, and now they're at 40 seconds, and they're on and off, and it's a lot harder to keep that matchup.
The other problem with it is defensive zone coverage. You know, it changes your defensive zone coverage and the importance of your center down low in defensive zone coverage when you've got a guy chasing Gretzky. He can really challenge your defensive zone coverage and open people up. So I think it
did. You substitute Crosby for Gretzky?
What? Yeah. Well, I think, you know, they're both the greatest players to ever play the game. So you say Gretzky, you say Crosby. What's the difference?
What I would anticipate that the goal really is to get Crosby so frustrated that he's off his game.
Totally.
By that.
Totally.
And then you can maybe go back to a more traditional style.
And it'll be interesting to see, but it's still going to come down to goalie Bob versus Fleury.
Ryan Getzlaf's going to be reevaluated today. Took a puck off the face late in that game last night. Boudreau said he's going to have a nasty cut, but he should be all right.
I don't know how you avoid a crack or a broken orbital bone.
There's damage somewhere in there, that's for sure.
It was ugly. And it was Sagan.
It was the puck was up on end, and he caught it flush. It'd be heartbreaking to lose Getzlaf, who's maybe had one of the best seasons of his career.
And 2 points last night in that game.
Yeah, and lucky if he's not, you know, injured with a fractured jaw or orbital bone, it's a major lucky break.
He managed to turn his face just at the last second and get it off the side. So whether it hit, if it missed the jawbone, who knows? But yeah, certainly Boudreau said the early indications. He was getting stitched up for internal damage.
I couldn't believe he got up that quickly.
Yeah.
You know, usually in that type of situation, I think your first thought, if you can do it, is just go get medical help as quickly as you can. Don't wait for them to come to you. Go and find what he was doing.
Hockey Central broadcasting from Section 120 here at the Tampa Bay Times Forum as the Lightning fall to the Montreal Canadiens in overtime last night. Hockey Central presented by Lexus on the Park with Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, Doug McLean, and Scott Morrison. Dave Andrechuk will join us halfway through today's show. We'll break away on Sportsnet Ontario for the Blue Jays coverage, but we remain on the air on Sportsnet 360 for the entire show. Frederik Andersen was the surprise starter for the Anaheim Ducks last night, and it must be the playoffs because Bruce Boudreau is dealing with an unusual goalie situation.
Well, a lot of people wondering who he's going to start in this series, and he had options, and maybe his best goalie was John Gibson, who came up late from the minors and was pretty darn good down the stretch. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people wondered, should Andersen be the choice? Boudreau's explanation, as all coaches say it, is in his estimation that he was the guy that gave him the best chance to win. He got the victory. It wasn't a clean one.
Why are you shaking your head, Doug?
I'm blown away by it. I mean, look, Hiller, if he wasn't their MVP, he was in the top two or three on the team. And it just, like, Bruce has got to have big-time success in this playoff run, and I'm not convinced. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not convinced Anderson's going to be the guy to get it done. Hiller is a more experienced guy, a veteran guy, playoff time. I don't get it. I'm confused.
Well,
by it.
Gutsy, but he's never had playoff
call.
Success.
Yeah, gutsy calls.
Gutsy call by a coach, and maybe that's what you do this time of year. Hey, listen, what do we do with our goaltenders? Who's starting here? Because, well, Niemi's been the guy all season long. They're thinking about Stalock.
But yeah, it'll be Niemi.
Right?
It'll be Niemi. Come on.
It will, but
it'll be the Stanley Cup goalie.
But Mac, what it does is it still plants the seed here, and it's one of those things where if it goes great, you're a genius behind the bench. But if it goes ugly, it will be second question.
Here's the question for you guys.
Even the mind games going into game one.
But the coaches keep it away from us in the media, but within the dressing room, do they know who the guy that's going to start? Because you don't want that element, that seed of doubt planted.
But look,
even if that's the case, as a player, I wouldn't like that, Scott. I'm like, okay, what are we hiding here? I mean, are you protecting me? Are you protecting the opponents from thinking that they're going to have a game plan against me? Like, hey, listen, I'm the guy. I don't care who knows it.
Would that not give the LA Kings a sense of more confidence?
Totally. But just let's go back to Anaheim for a minute. Bruce should have learned from the Theodore thing. You know, I mean, come on. You start a controversy day one of the playoffs. You know, so what does it do now if Andersen stumbles and he's got to go back to Hiller? I don't get it.
Hiller should be a professional enough that he's ready to play.
But this is a series that they should win.
Yeah.
Build on and get his game so he can take them deep. But anyway, that Bruce knows better than I do. I don't know why he creates it.
Here in Tampa, it was Anders Lindmark that got the start last night, and so many eyes on him wondering whether or not he would be able to keep the run going from late in the regular season, which he was forced to step in for the injured Ben Bishop. And instead, it was Carey Price that really struggled through regulation last night. Picked up the win. So how do you assess Carey Price, who there's pressure on him in this series, and his performance in game one, Nick?
Well, I think there's two games Carey Price played, the one in regulation time and the one in overtime. He was another guy in overtime. Just his true leadership stepped up. I thought he was the calmest guy on the ice, and at a time when you think that maybe Tampa Bay could steal this one, I mean, it was men against boys in overtime, and Carey Price led it. And on the other hand, you watch Lynn back, and at times I thought he was overwhelmed. Maybe it had to do with the 13 minutes of playoff experience he brought into game one, never starting an NHL game in the playoffs before. And at times he just looked like it got to him.
And what bothered me about the game was Lindback was the story. No doubt about it. He was the story coming in. And the way this team played in front of him, are you kidding me? I mean, that was a dreadful performance. That might have been one of Tampa Bay Lightning's worst games they played this year. I mean, they have 11 shots after two periods, halfway through the third before they get their 12th shot. And they got a kid in nets who's got 11 minutes in experience, and that's what they do in front of them last night. If I'm the Tampa Bay Lightning coaching staff, I'm pretty ticked off at that group.
They're a young team.
Exactly.
I think it was eight guys making their playoff debut, and they look like a jittery team, and they admitted it afterwards.
Okay, Brewer's not young. Brewer's not young.
And Carl.
Carl's not young, and it wasn't just the kids were better than the veterans for them.
Gudas falls on the Plekanec goal, right? Koska gets caught up ice on Eller's goal. Hedman
goal.
Is shorthanded. I don't know what Hedman was doing on a pinch where he got caught up ice on the shorthanded Gianta goal. And then Eric Brew got blown by Vanek. I mean, those are quality chances that you hand.
Not
is that you or me?
It's you.
Not to mention...
I don't have that on my phone.
Not to mention the winning goal, guys.
Where, dance?
No.
Not to mention the winning goal where three guys were below the goal line on the winning goal in overtime. I mean, a horrendous, like the Tampa Bay Lightning, and I get the inexperience. I understand that kids, and I get it. But come on, this is the Stanley Cup playoffs. Throw it over the on the ice.
But at the end of the day, he still saw 40-plus shots. And as John Cooper said afterwards, you see five on the board and you think the goalie had an off night. In their estimation, maybe one or two, you could hang on them, but they weren't hanging that long.
Sure as hell shouldn't be.
The Lightning were supposed to practice this morning at 11:15. They pushed that back to noon.
They had a team meeting first.
On the ice and a team meeting.
There would have
been
some video, I think, shown prior to stepping on the ice just now.
So do you wipe that one clean and just chalk it up to nerves for the Lightning?
Totally. I mean, you just know that, okay, we lost in a late in overtime against a team that dominated us, and we know it would rank up there as one of our worst games of the year, where they created zero forecheck in the game. I mean zero forecheck, where they created zero off the rush. If it's not for Stamkos last night, this was a complete no-show.
Went off the rush.
Yeah.
And spectacular.
But a complete no-show, in my opinion, by a team other than Stamkos. And
I thought Johnson was great.
No, late in the game. The kids come on late in the game.
Killorn.
Brown gave them a good effort.
Give them big-time credit late in the game for coming alive. But when you have 11 shots after two periods, guys, at home in the Stanley Cup playoffs, you don't deserve to win the game.
They felt they were more comfortable in the third period. Yeah. And they generated more. The kids looked more comfortable for sure.
One shot on goal.
They were moving the puck. They had their legs going. They weren't getting the scoring chances, but they spent a little more time in the Montreal zone.
Let's give Montreal
zone.
Some credit for their defensive game. Canadiens played a very sound defensive game. To me, that was a 5-1, 5-2 game last night.
Well, in extended periods where they really hemmed Tampa in their zone, too. I mean, the best defense was the forecheck.
Yeah. You made the point that last night during the game that it was like an Olympic experience for Carey Price because he was seeing so few shots, but he wasn't getting touches. The Olympics teams would dump it in, and he would at least be able to move around. Tampa Bay didn't even get the opportunity to drive, throw it in, and generate any type of forecheck.
No, and it would be a tough game mentally, but he stayed pretty focused. I didn't like his game, really. I really didn't like his game on a couple of them, but it was the overtime where he just found a way to get it done, and his composure was outstanding.
Well, his team bailed him out during regulation, and then he paid them back.
You're right, 100%, and he paid them back in overtime. So it's a game for Carey Price to build on. Last year, guys, he would have lost that game.
And getting back to Tampa's mindset, you got to feel like we played probably the worst game we could play, and we're still that close. And you know you can come with a better game, and so you got to feel somewhat encouraged by that.
They have home ice for a reason. They had a better record than the Montreal Canadiens.
At one point.
Yeah, but they were better, you know?
More on the series with Dave Andrechuk when he joins us in just a little bit. Action that starts tonight will also feature the New York Rangers against the Philadelphia Flyers, and there's a lot being made about the Flyers' lack of success at Madison Square Garden. They'll also start Ray Emery in goal tonight with Steve Mason out. This series, I favor the New York Rangers, but when you look at Philadelphia Flyers' ability to balance out their offense, it gives them a real shot. What do you think, Doug?
Well, three lines. I mean, and you look at Couturier, Reed as Berube's, you know, where they mix up the other winger on that line. But that's Berube's go-to checking line, which is a different from a lot of teams. You have the ability to put your third line as a checking line, and then you've got the Giroux line. I mean, their top nine are pretty dynamic, and they're playing very well. I question their blue line. The whole series to me is the forwards of the Flyers, excluding goaltending, because Mason and Lundqvist is not a... I mean, that's a Lundqvist win for me, although I love Mace. But it's Staal, Girardi, McDonough versus the forwards.
Well, and McDonough has done an amazing job. Part of that success that you're talking about, or the lack of success for Philadelphia in New York, is Ryan McDonough against the Giroux line and Voracek. Yeah. And this guy is a sharp guy. He skates well. He can read plays well. I think Berube commented on the fact that his top line's got to dump the puck in a lot of times, because this guy's so smart in terms of intercepting pucks, reading plays, turning the puck over, and that's one of the things that they've been able to not do is penetrate when McDonough's been on the ice.
A number 11 draft pick of the Montreal Canadiens, McDonough.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell them that, eh?
No.
Yeah, trying
Mason
to forget that trade.
Yeah, Mason is a big loss for me. I think it really makes it lie. I went with Philly in this series, and then I heard Mason got hurt or with the concussion.
You learned that on our playoff show.
Yeah, I'm nervous about it for the Flyers right now with Emery. And, Emery's a battler.
John Shannon,
at least he's got experience.
Yeah. That's why he's an insider, John Shannon.
One of the first times you've paid attention on our show.
Well, usually I am the show. And you guys, pay attention.
So you've got the Patrick Division tilt and then the Norris Division series between the Blues and the Blackhawks. Both these series featuring matchups that we've seen before, but not quite a while. I'm really excited about St. Louis, who are getting healthy. Players coming off the injured list, back practicing, back skating. And then Chicago, the same thing with Kane and Taves.
Yeah, neither team was particularly strong down the stretch. We all know St. Louis, six in a row they lose, shut out three times, outscored 22-5, but they also are missing seven of their top 12 forwards. So that speaks volumes, and real good forwards too. So they're getting healthier. Hitchcock wouldn't say who exactly is back, but we heard Oshie was on the ice today at the morning skate. So getting healthy will give them a better chance to turn things around. And obviously from Chicago's perspective, they didn't have Kane and Taves for a long period of time, and they're both coming back.
Backus is back. I think he had a broken toe off of a blocked shot, but this guy's going to have his hands full. We know Kane and Taves are there, but how healthy they are remains to be seen.
But they're so deep up front, too.
But he's going to have to be a key figure here in this series, especially with the depth of Chicago.
Doug, you know Ken Hitchcock. You hire Ken Hitchcock. For him to flip the page from that six-game losing streak to end the regular season, losing touch with the President's Trophy, losing the division title and home ice advantage through that route and that bracket, to starting the Stanley Cup playoffs on a positive note.
His history has shown he's had a tough time getting out of tailspins. He couldn't get out of it in Philadelphia. He couldn't get it out of one in Dallas when he got fired, and he couldn't get out of one in Columbus when he got fired, because he grates on the players so badly that it becomes intolerable to be around. I've got to believe that this will be different for Hitch. I think he's got a playoff-style team, and when you've got a Petrangelo, Bouwmeester, Barrett Jackman, that group on the back end, and the experienced guys he has up front...
You know when it changes, Mac?
I think the boys in the room and the leadership
of the room
have to...
You know when it changes? When somebody in that room steps up, exactly, looks Hitch in the eye, and says, knock it off.
Exactly.
Knock it off.
And I suspect that's happening.
We experienced that in 94. We don't win the Stanley Cup in 94 unless Messier goes up to Keenan and says, knock it off. You're going to blow this thing. You better find a way to pull us all back together. This thing railed
and you know
completely.
What?
And I don't know who that guy is.
I don't know either.
In St. Louis.
Is it Backus?
I don't know, but success, look, we don't, and you know it because you lived it. How many times that's the case on championship teams? And that's why we always talk about foundation guys and leadership groups and guys that will step up. Now, Pietrangelo eventually will be the guy. Backus should be the guy. I mean, I think he's that type of guy. But you know what? With Ryan Miller there, with the blue line they have, with the depth up front, this should be an unbelievable series.
A Final Four team,
it should
at the
be.
Least.
It should be.
Well, Hitchcock won a Stanley Cup, so maybe he can reach back and remember just how you finish your way through it. But you mentioned Ryan Miller. Which Ryan Miller shows up? Is it the guy who won 8 out of 9?
Just go back to the Hitchcock winning the Stanley Cup. Don't think there was some guys in that Dallas dressing room that weren't pretty instrumental like you talked about.
You're right. You know? Ryan Miller's overall record with the St. Louis Blues is not overwhelming.
He won 8 of the first 9 getting there and then was 0 for 5 with a goals against average just under 4 down the stretch. Yeah, they didn't have their scoring up front, but it's still supposed to be a sound defensive team.
The chances the last 6 games that they lost, that they gave up, were probably more than they gave up in the first 3 months of the regular season. I mean, the breakaways, the odd man rushes, and I'm not taking all of the weight off of or the responsibility off of Ryan Miller, but this was not the same team that we saw in the middle of the season.
And guess what? We listened to Ken Hitchcock come to Toronto and say in a media scrum that if you have to be coaching at this time of year, you have problems. Like, the coaching should be done up until Christmas, and now it should be ingrained. Well, guess what? He's doing some coaching right now. And
he has problems.
And he has some problems. So coaching isn't just till Christmas, Ken. Coaching is all day, every day, all year long.
Hockey Central,
even in the summer.
Hockey Central presented by Lexus on the Park with Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, Doug McLean, and Scott Morrison from the Tampa Bay Times Forum as the Tampa Bay Lightning go through their practice following an overtime loss against the Montreal Canadiens in Game 1 of their series. Tonight's action will also feature the playoff debut of Nathan MacKinnon, the Colorado Avalanche hookup with the Minnesota Wild, and off a marvelous regular season, unexpected totally out of the blue to win the Central Division regular season title to Game 1 of the playoffs. We saw what happened to this Tampa Bay Lightning squad last night being tight, Nick. How does Colorado avoid that?
Well, I think you just go in, ignorance is bliss here, and just think that you've got everything to gain and nothing to lose. I don't know if there's a faster team right now than Colorado. And they know where their strengths are. Patrick Roy knows him. I think he's going to have a way team prepared so we don't see the jitters, that we don't see those nerves. I mean, he's done a marvelous job up until now. I think he'll just draw on his experience from the regular season, preparing them to get off to such a great start. And I don't think the playoffs are any different.
Yeah, I think what could be different between Tampa last night and Colorado could be Varlamov. He's had an amazing season, limited playoff experience, obviously. But can he be sort of a guiding influence till the kids find their way? Is he good enough? Is he solid enough? Can he handle the playoff pressure enough? You know, he was in the Olympics. He was pretty good in the Olympics. Is he a guy that can hold the fort till the kids find their legs and get over the jitters?
Well,
interesting.
He certainly gave them a lot of chances during the season where he closed the door.
It's San Jose against L.A., which I title Big Boy Hockey. They meet again in the Stanley Cup playoffs after colliding last year in the second round. Jonathan Quick against what I anticipate will be Niemi. San Jose, the pressure to make a run and win a Stanley Cup with this core group against Daryl Sutter and a group of players that don't give you very much at all, Doug.
Yeah, and what's sad is Lewis, Chicago, San Jose, L.A. are going to be out of the playoffs after the first round. That bothers me a lot.
No, but that's the new reality of divisional playoffs.
Exactly, but that bothers me. But this is a if we talked a month ago when San Jose come off that road, Eastern road swing where they went 9-1-1, and I remember saying it, this team looks unbeatable to me. This team looks like they've got the depth. They finally figured it out. They've got their different style. Niemi is on a roll. And what happens down the stretch? They falter like crazy.
Hard to believe here. They finish with 111 points, San Jose. They have home ice advantage. And nobody's giving them a shot to win this series.
I know.
Well, because they're playing a team that, as you, to your point, gives you nothing. Has the Jennings Award-winning goaltender and Jonathan Quick. They don't score a lot of goals, Los Angeles, but they don't
give up.
Well,
more now, Scott, with Gabrick.
Yeah, that's helped big time.
It's up. Gabrick's given them a different look, and he's found some magic with Kopitar. So Vlasic's going to have his hands full with that line.
And you know what? You're not. We're not sitting here saying L.A. is going to win it for fun. I'm picking L.A., but it is going to be. I am not saying San Jose are not going to come out and play their tails off. Maybe they like this little bit of underdog role. This could go either way this series still. Either one of these teams could still win the Stanley Cup.
Well, there's a ton of bad blood.
I love
from
it.
Last year, mm-hmm. from earlier this year, the Brown hit on Hurdle. Hurdle's back. That's another offensive weapon for San Jose. Joe Pavelski's a 40-goal scorer now. There's another big weapon for them.
The best thing about this game, these games tonight, is they're at different times, so you can watch both of them. Because are they not can't-miss hockey between St. Louis, Chicago, and L.A.? I mean, playoff time, is that not the best can't-miss hockey?
First round's the best round.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The guy that has a statue in front of the building just walked in.
Dave Anderchuk
is in the house.
It's Hockey Central presented by Lexus on the Park. We have an update on the Tampa Bay Lightning practice and who's in and who's out. That's coming up as we broadcast you from Section 120, Tampa Bay Times Forum, Hockey Central on Sportsnet Ontario. Sportsnet 360 continues there and sportsnet.ca.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Presented by Lexus on the Park in front of the Tampa Bay Lightning practice following a Game 1 loss to the Montreal Canadiens. It's Hockey Central with Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, Doug McLean, and here is Dave Anderchuk, captain of the Tampa Bay Lightning Stanley Cup team, and now broadcaster. You kiss babies, you do a little bit of everything, don't you?
Many hats.
What do you think of the statue, first of all?
Very cool, obviously. It was a great weekend for my family, not only for myself, for our team, to remember that day that happened. And, you know, there's 30 other cities that would like to have that day, you know, come about.
You got that right.
And I think Jeff and Jeff Vinnick and his executive team to... A year ago to come out and tell me this, it's just awesome.
Mac's been pushing for his own statue outside the Rogers building. They're not going for it just yet.
It's a couple hundred grand, by the way, just in case you're asking.
I noticed when we were leaving last night, throngs of people getting their pictures taken next to Phil Esposito's statue.
Right. Well, Phil says now the pigeons can come over to me. So.
That's great. Curious. Honor. Yeah. Great honor.
When they do a statue like that, how much input do you have in?
I never really did very much. You know, a year ago, we took some pictures, some measurements. Then I saw the head about 3 months ago, but that was it.
You don't have veto power?
I had no power, no.
But it's such a, like you said it, it's such an amazing honor. I mean, it really is a special thing. I mean, you played a large part of your career in other markets, but you came here and at a critical time, and to have that honor is amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, this group was not part of that.
Exactly.
Right? Like, this group was not part of 04. And just to recognize that this has happened, and so our fans can appreciate that you know, we want a Stanley Cup here.
But, you know, Dave, all we ever hear now with every organization is we want an identity, we want a culture, we want a history. Move to sort of try to, you know, the past with the future, and teams talk about it all the time.
We're 20 years into the league, and we're into that second generation. Mm-hmm. Of fans. You know, we are into now where those kids are now buying tickets. Mm-hmm. So it's a big step for us. We do have a lot of influence from what happens up north. As you guys, you know, saw throughout the years, that there's a lot of people that come to visit this area that have tickets. But now we have this strong fan base that's here.
And the first generation's telling the second generation about that Stanley Cup 10 years ago. Yes. And you guys got to obviously celebrate it with a reunion.
Yeah, a few weeks, about a month back, we brought in pretty much every guy that wasn't either coaching or playing in the league, which we still have some
And we know what it meant for you guys. And, and obviously, anytime we can all get together with our teammates is amazing.
Sure.
But what was the effect on the community with it?
Unbelievable. I think it was even surprising to some of our group about the response that this 10th anniversary team got. You know, people came out in droves to see us, to see the cup, to get some autographs. It was great.
Now, there's still a little bit of educating to do, because I noticed when Stamkos scored last night, the PA announcer said, "And Steve Stamkos scores his 26th goal of the season." It's the first goal of the playoffs.
That's right. That's right.
Who got to that guy?
Somebody got to him.
Who had to explain that one to him?
Yeah.
It's a great presentation, in-game presentation in this building. And the video board has something to do with that. But there's always a fabulous organ and what they do in and around the game.
But it's always been, almost since day one with the Tampa Bay Lightning. I mean, I know they had some rough years, but a lot of great games in here, and usually a pretty good. Now it's gone to another level, though.
The presentation takes it to another level. Yeah. And, you know, we're getting more people in the building.
Did that distract you at all from the performance of the team last night? And we should tell you that Andre Palat is, well, not you, but the audience, is not out there today. Yep. He was injured last night, didn't play in the third period other than a little twirl. And Alex Killorn is skating on the top line with Steven Stamkos and Tyler Johnson. But what did you think of last night's performance, and was it somewhat expected given the youth of your team?
A little bit, yes. You know, a lot of guys, it's their first playoff game. They don't understand the intensity of the game, how it ramps up going into the playing in a playoff game. And secondly, you know, how things are mentally, how you have to be strong throughout the whole game. You can't get caught up in the emotions that we all did when we were young guys. That, you know, you want to run around, you want to hit guys, and you want to, but at the same time, you got to play the game. I think it was a coach's nightmare last night for both sides. Yeah. A lot of turnovers, a lot of giveaways, you know, some soft goals, and things will tighten up again.
Dave, Darren talked off the top about all the hats that you wear here in Tampa Bay, but another hat that you wear is you've lived it. Mm-hmm. You've got the experience. You've got the cup ring. Would you now be in a position, are you comfortable enough? Would you go down and talk to a few of the kids there and just reiterate what you've learned and know throughout your career?
Yeah, no, I've done it most of the year. I mean, I'm on a lot of road trips. Sometimes I'm on the road trip not to do anything with TV or to do anything with Fox Sports. I'm just there just to be around the guys. So, yeah, I mean, Steve Yzerman has been awesome of listening to everybody that's here in the organization. We've got a lot of good guys that are here that have played this game before. So, anything I can do to help those young guys, and we've done it most of the year.
I think that's what impressed me last night. You go up to the press box and you see, okay, you see Stevie Thomas on the bench, you see Rick Bowness on the bench, you see Pat Verbeek in the press box, you see Stevie Y in the press box. I mean, pretty impressive group of, you see yourself, you see Brian Bradley around, pretty impressive group of former NHLers, but quality guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's what Steve's trying to do here. I mean, you know, two or three years ago when we make it one game from getting to the finals, I think everybody was excited for the team, and there was a lot of expectations after that year. I don't think Steve stuck to his plan of knowing that, hey, we got to get these kids in the minors before they come up. Then we had a couple of rough years where you don't make the playoffs. But if you look at the talent that we have, the core group of young guys, we're going to be competitive for a little while.
Dave Andrzejczyk is with us on Hockey Central, presented by Lexus on the Park, along with Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McLean. Ben Bishop skated again this morning, a little bit longer than he did yesterday. What do you think his status is as we progress through this series?
Talking to him the other day, you know, I think he's very optimistic that he's going to be back sometime. I don't see it happening, maybe not this series at all. Unfortunate for us, because he had obviously a great year and really carried our team when there was some struggles. But it is what it is, and you know, you got to look to your organization for depth that Steve has created, and you got to go with it.
You watched Lindback last night, and at times the inexperience certainly showed, but The one positive
Bishop's
is
never played in a playoff game either. Yeah,
true. He held in there.
Yeah.
He held in there. Yeah, that's not to say Bishop wouldn't show nerves, but at least Lindback gave your team a chance to win. That's saying something.
Yeah, I mean, we all talk about, you know, the soft goals, but what about all the great saves that he made to keep us in the game? And, you know, I think he's had a... I like the guy. He's a good kid. He works extremely hard. The upside is unlimited for him. He's a guy that has had some hard luck. You know, he hasn't really got the run support this year in the games that he's played, but he's played pretty strong. He had a great, you know, stretch there at the end the last week, and I don't think that was the problem.
I haven't seen Tampa Bay play anywhere near as much as you did, obviously, but that may be one of the worst games I've seen them play when I've watched them. I mean, when you get 11 shots at home after two periods and halfway through the third before you get your 12th, and you've got a kid in goal, I mean, that was a no-show in front of him, to be quite honest, except for Steven Stamkos.
Well, I mean...
because of youth and, you know...
And I think that they got to get back to doing what they do best, and that's skating. Yeah. I mean, they're a strong skating team. They need to get pucks behind the Montreal defense, start to forecheck a little bit more. You know, you got to know that John Cooper and his staff have looked at the tape and realized, you know, we just turned the puck over way too many times. We tried to make plays that weren't there. And, you know, in the playoffs, sometimes simple is best.
Well, the defenseman, for sure, had a horribly execution night when it came to just making that first pass.
And I think both sides did. You know, I wouldn't say that we were the only ones. I think Montreal turned the puck over also. It was a very sloppy game. So that's uncharacteristic of what we've done all year long. And I think John's going to address it, that, you know, you got to pick your poison. There are times that it's okay to shoot it off the glass and go and regroup and try not to make a play every time.
You mentioned John Cooper, and, and over your long career, is there any coach that you could compare him to in terms of just his demeanor, maybe his patience, his communication? Is this the new era of a new type of coach, Dave?
Yeah, well, this era is not what I'm used to.
Yeah,
we're used to getting whipped, and, you know, into place. And
Doug and I are right there with you. Yeah. Don't worry.
So John he's
Hitchcock like.
He's a new breed.
No.
He's a new breed. Communicates with his players all the time. A lot of it is about just going out and having fun. The togetherness is the same as what good teams, you know, always bringing in all the players. It's not really about Steven, but it's about a group and what this group together. So you got to remember that John Cooper has coached these guys for 3 years now, some guys 4 years.
Right.
He's had this core group together, and he's had some success with them. He knows what it takes to make them go.
So I'm going to give a good friend of yours a call this afternoon and say that you said he looks like he's got a chance to be as good as a Lindy Ruff.
Absolutely. I talked to Lindy just at the end. And you know what? The one thing about Lindy, and I think you would attest to this, that over time, Lindy adapted.
Yeah.
Whatever team that he had, he put a system, and it wasn't the Lindy system. Yeah. It was adoption. Yeah. And I think John Cooper is something similar to that.
Yeah. You have to
It's this is what you're given, and whether it's your system or not, some players can play in your system or not.
Exactly.
And John has been able to do that.
Dave Andrechuk is with us as we broadcast from the Tampa Bay Times Forum, Hockey Central, presented by Lexus on the Park, with Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McLean. What did you see from Steven Stamkos at the start of the year, and now, forgetting the leg injury, but now as the captain of this team, has he changed at all? Recognized the gravity of that weight?
I think on the outside we haven't seen much of a change, but I know there's a change on the inside, because when he was given that leadership role and Marty got traded and Marty's moved on, it was kind of thrown on Steven and say, okay, here it is, you know, it's your team now. And from what I'm hearing from the dressing room is this guy has taken charge and said, this is the way we're going to do things, and which he has to do, especially now in the playoffs. This is going to be the test for that leadership group of how you respond to ups and downs of the playoffs.
No better guy to speak of this than you, being here. Marty St. Louis.
Yeah.
Okay, I've been in some markets like Hartford where Ronnie Francis leaves, and it's devastating. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you almost would have thought that this might have a chance here in Tampa with Marty St. Louis, and to a lesser extent, maybe Vinny LeCavalier. But Marty, heart and soul type of guy, coming here, the sense is, yeah, we're aware of what he did, but, you know, it's like the team and the organization and the fan base have moved on. I'm quite astonished.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Marty has been, you know, a great warrior for this organization. He has done some phenomenal things. And when this happened, we all took a deep breath and said, how is everybody going to react to this? Yeah. How are our fans going to react? We knew what the team did. They didn't miss a beat. Ryan Callahan stepped in and played a different role than Marty. But they played great. They really did. I think that's up. That's John's staff, you know, getting them ready to play and pushing things aside. And our fan base is still a little, you know, apprehensive of what happened.
Well, it's such a personal thing,
you know,
right?
It really turned
into a personal matter between Marty St. Louis and Stevie. And I think it was the best out of a bad situation.
No doubt. I mean, when we moved on from this, and I've told Steve Yzerman this, you did Marty St. Louis a favor. You traded him to a place that he wanted to go. Yeah. And you got value for it on top of that. But I think it was best.
Here's the next challenge, and you're going to, maybe you will drive that truck. You and Stevie will drive the truck together with that ton of money in the back of it to Steve Stamkos' house when he's an unrestricted free agent in 2 years' time. I mean, seriously,
No, they won't let that happen.
But that's the new wave in the NHL, that at 27 years of age, unlike when you played, Dave, and that at 27 years of age, you've got the best player then he will be the best player in the world.
Right.
At the peak of his career. Now, you survived Vinny, and you survived Marty, and you survived Brad Richards.
You've got to charge more for beer here. That's the start.
You may want, if that's,
yeah.
And there's teams lining up right now thinking about it and drooling about it.
Now,
and one of them is one of your old teams.
If we go back to Buffalo, or to go back to the Detroit days for Steve Yzerman, to me, that model is, there was a lot of hometown discounts, right?
Yeah.
They wanted to play there. New Jersey Devils have that same philosophy. Yeah. They want to be there. So they're going to give us the hometown discount. That's the culture that Steve's trying to create, is that this is a great place to play.
Yeah.
We're going to be competitive every year. And you want to be part of it. And when you want to be part of it, you know, you're not going to ask for the mother load.
Want to get an update. No Oshie or Berglund in for the St. Louis Blues tonight as they open up against the Chicago Blackhawks.
Tough.
What do you expect for game two out of the Tampa Bay Lightning?
I see a lot more of a, hopefully we go back to the way that we are, our identity and the way that we play. The game will be closer. There won't be as many mistakes. I think both teams are now going to watch video for the rest of the night, probably, to see what you've done wrong. The atmosphere will be the same in here as it was before. We're going to try to, you know, ramp it up even more for our players. But it's exciting. It's exciting, and it's one game. As you guys can attest that, you know, it's four to win a series, and this is just the start of a marathon.
1 minute to go, Doug.
Well, I think they're going to come out and play, as Dave said. I think we're going to see a much, much better hockey game by both teams. And Tampa Bay, to me, with the goose, you know, the nervousness out, are going to be a much different team.
Yep.
Kip?
Yeah, I expect more out of Victor Hedman, too. There's another guy that has really taken his game to another level can control the back end. I saw a little of the jitterness there. He's much better. He's been much better. That alone will make you a better hockey club.
I'm really disappointed that we're not seeing the Tampa Bay Lightning with Bishop. That I don't care what team you are, whether you're the best team in the world. If you don't have your number one goalie, that's a tough grind. And I feel for them for that.
Going outside to shine up the statue? No?
Can we get a picture? We'll get a picture of taken by make you feel
good.
We've
got the real thing right here. Thanks to Dave Andrechuk and Hockey Central, presented by Lexus on the Park. We'll be back with Hazel May on Connected later on today.